This is Let's Talk Business with your host, Mark Ebinger. Now, here's Mark.
Welcome to Let's Talk Business, a show that highlights and promotes entrepreneurs to learn more about their vision, goals, and marketing strategy. Coming up on the show today, we're going to talk about the business of water testing and different types of water treatment available to homeowners, especially here in the San Antonio area, which our water is less than desirable at times, I think. In studio with us today is Gina Acree, a water treatment specialist with Sweetwater Home Services. Gina, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mark. I'm excited.
I'm your host, Mark Ebinger, the owner of Krukus Virtual Staffing, a company that specializes in hiring virtual assistants from outside the United States.
And I am a co-host, Heather Baim, certified business trainer and coach with Onset Professional Development, where we turn business owners' should-do lists into will-do lists through high-level professional development training and one-to-one business coaching.
And I am a co-host to the co-host. My name is Howie Nestel. I've been in marketing for 30 years. I own an ad agency called Sharkmatic Advertising. We do graphic design, web design, search engine optimization. And we have worked with 1,500 clients over the past three decades. So I'm starting to figure this marketing thing out.
Mm-hmm. You've been in, what was your statement you said earlier? I've been in business since before Al Gore invented the internet. That's hilarious.
Yeah. Love that. Well, there was he misspoke one time and said something about
I know. That turned into a whole thing. Oh, my gosh. And that was really before memes were really a major thing. Right. So, all right, a quick reminder to follow the Let's Talk Business podcast on all major podcast platforms and social media where you can catch video versions of the show. You can get to everything easily from our website at satalkradio.com. Now, if you're going to be in the San Antonio area on Thursday, May 16th, be sure to join us at the next Let's Talk Business Mega Mixer. We're expecting over 150 local business owners and entrepreneurs on site to mix, mingle, and connect with each other to do more business. And that's really what it's all about. It's about making connections and doing business. Were you at the last one, Gina, or no?
I was not.
You were not. Well, if you can make it, show up to the next one.
It's on my calendar.
Yeah, awesome. We had a really good time last time. And Howie, talk a little bit about the nonprofit we're supporting this time.
So it's on your calendar. I would encourage you to buy a ticket because they will sell out. Last time they sold out, but we opened it up and sold even more tickets. Mm-hmm. And the $10 that you spend on a ticket to the Mega Mixer will go to a nonprofit. This time it's going to go to Discovery Camps. It's a camp for kids battling cancer that this year is celebrating its 40th anniversary. So it's a sleepaway summer camp experience up in Kerrville. 150 kids, 7 days, and they get to be kids and forget about cancer and their treatments. And we've had children who are amputees that are on the ropes course and riding horses. And we have oncology nurses, docs. We have a life flight helicopter on standby nearby in case something happens. And it's a phenomenal thing. And I'm on the board, but we've also expanded services. Now we have on sibling camp. We have in-hospital camp for kids who can't leave the hospital, but we bring the camp experience to them. So a whole bunch of things. You can learn more at discoverycamps.org.
Yeah, super excited to be able to do the 100% of our ticket sales go to the nonprofit.
That's exciting.
Yeah. So it's a good thing. And of course, Howie, when he recommends a nonprofit, it's one that's been vetted and we can trust that it's actually a good one. So all right, a quick shout out to Max Lee Photography. He's one of the gold sponsors of our upcoming Let's Talk Business Mega Mixer. Max Lee has been voted Best Wedding and Portrait Photographer of Chippewa Valley 6 years in a row, awarded the coveted Senior Style Guide Hot 100 and Senior Inspire Top 25 for his expertise in high school photography. So if you parents out there, we got graduations coming up. If you want photography done, Max Lee is phenomenal. If you don't believe me, check him out on Instagram where he posts his work there. I don't know if you guys are following him or not.
Oh, I'm not yet, but I'm going to. But he was great at the photo shoot.
Oh my gosh. He did a really good job directing.
His photos are amazing. I really, really like him. So I'm excited to see the finished product. I saw the initial run through on it, but I'm excited to see how it turns out at the end. And we're going to use a ton of content there because he just wrapped up a photo shoot for the hosts of this show last week. It was an awesome experience. And of course, the photos look awesome. If you need top photography done for a wedding or high school senior, reach out to Max Lee at maxleephoto.com. All right. So Gina, you've been in the water treatment it's a water softener business, right? But there's also water treatment, right?
Water treatment. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Both. Mm-hmm. Or you sound like it's all one thing. Is it two things?
Well, I mean, there's so many different avenues in the water era. So we do water softening, water filtration, drinking water purification, anything that's going to improve the water. So there are many different things.
So, and what was your background that led you to this industry? Because you've been in it for a long time now.
So that's interesting. My previous life, I was in retail management. And I loved growing and I loved learning about it. But there came a point in time after I came back to the United States and started working retail that I found out that I didn't want to do retail forever. It was like people warned me. It was long hours. You're stuck in a store all the time. You're not going to see your family. So I really didn't want to work the rest of my life in retail. And I started kind of looking around for something new. I went to a lot of group interviews. I went to a lot of interviews that I wasn't too sure about the companies. Mm-hmm. And I answered an ad for Rainsoft. And I remember learning about it and thinking, I'll have to look this up. And I started researching it. And I went back for a second interview. And in the meantime, my parents have been telling me about having water softener. Because when we first moved here, we stayed with them and they had a water softener. And I didn't know what that was. I'd never owned a house before. And then we were in an apartment that didn't have a water softener. And I quickly learned the difference between hard water and soft water. And when I interviewed and learned a little bit more, I said, man, this is something everybody needs. Like, why would you not? Can I get one now? And they said, well, do you own a home? No, I was in an apartment. So I couldn't have one. In fact, the first 2 years I worked for the company, I couldn't have one because I wasn't in a home. But it was one of my goals when I bought my first home.
What a cool story. Yeah. You know, noticed all these
perfect
stories of serendipity or things that happen and how people get into an industry? I think it's kind of neat. I think that's part of finding your passion because, or at least knowing that you don't want to do something.
Yeah.
I grew up in retail as well, and that was one thing I noticed. My parents worked 6 days a week until the blue laws got changed, and then they worked 7 days a week.
Well, I worked retail overseas, and I got spoiled. I started out working for AFIS, and then I went and worked on the German economy, and I worked for a German company and an Italian company. And then when we decided to come back to the States to be close to family, people warned me, you're not going to like retail in the U.S. It's not 6 days a week. It's not half a day on Saturday. Like, it's 24/7. I said, right. Oh, it'll be fine.
No, and then stores start to stay open later and then move out to the malls and that kind of stuff. And now it's 9 a.m. to 9 p.m.
So what drives the passion for this business? Because you've been in a long time. Right. So why are you sticking with it? Where does that passion come from?
You know, I was thinking about that the other day and also about something that Howie said. But first, what I was thinking about was people ask me all the time. So are you a chemist? Well, no, I didn't go to school for chemistry. I actually wanted to be a teacher when I was in college. But way back when I was in college, it seemed like there were going to be too many people going into teaching. So there was kind of like a feeling that maybe I better look for something else. So I went into business management. But I'm a little bit of a people person. I'm not too shy. And my dad used to say the biggest complaint the teachers had about me was that I talked too much. So, you know, perfect way for me to get to know people.
Well, welcome to the show. That's what we like, people who talk too much.
Thank you. But I really enjoy helping people with all their concerns that I had when I first moved here because I've been through it. And I was thinking about something you said the other day about your business, and it made me think, you know, my job is to help people with their water. But my passion is to connect people. And so being out there networking, I'm able to help my clients not just with their water, but other things they need for their home. And, you know, just getting settled if they're not from here. So
I love that too. So, there's something powerful about making a connection and it transforms somebody's business or somebody's life situation, not their whole life, but a life situation for sure.
So when you enter like a direct sales, direct B2C, business to consumer role, it's a little bit difficult, I feel like, to figure out exactly how you're going to accomplish that because you could be knocking on doors all day. What was that path like from starting in the water softener industry? You're trying to educate everybody to getting to where you are now, primarily networking instead of knocking on doors or trying to find as many people to sell water softeners as you can.
Yeah, that's a really interesting path because one of the things that attracted me to this company in particular, Sweetwater, is the local Rainsoft dealer. And they don't force their employees to go knock on doors. It's not that you can't do it. You certainly can. And it's a good thing to learn to, you know, grow your confidence, but they don't really recommend that you only market that way. But when I was interviewed, I had never worked in outside sales. I'd worked in retail. It's different. People come to you, right? And I was a little worried about that. And I said, well, you know, do I have to be pushy? Do I have to trick people? Is there smoke and mirrors? And they said, you know, the dealership owner at the time, who's still the dealership owner now, said, no, we're about education. So we want you to show people the value of what we have to offer, but we want you to educate them, and they're pretty much going to take it away from you. The most important thing is being positive and being willing to talk to people and being willing to learn the material. If you can do all of that, you don't have to be pushy.
So. What approach do you take? Do you take a fear approach or a supportive approach?
Well, so I don't think it's fear.
If you don't, if you don't have this, then you're going to wear out your refrigerator parts, your dishwasher parts.
Right.
Your kids are going to die of some guys. I'm just kidding. But it's like, what's the approach that you take, or do you take both?
You know, it's really more of an educational approach.
Right.
Because
but education
the teacher,
towards
the teacher coming
supportive
out.
Or towards like stuff's going to wear out on you.
Both.
Okay.
Both. Yeah. I mean, I have people ask me, so we moved in last week. Is our refrigerator going to break down this week? Well, no, but do you really want this stuff going into your refrigerator? I mean, if you had a choice, would you like it to last longer? Or would you like it to wear out faster? I don't know. People ask me, is this water safe to drink? I'm not a doctor. The water company is supposed to make sure it's safe for you. However, if there's this much chlorine in your water, that's more than in my swimming pool. Do you really want to drink that? Up to you.
You're not supposed to drink swimming pool water.
Everybody knows that. Except my kids.
So you've been doing it a long time. So you're obviously successful. I remember during our prep Zoom, you had a lot of number ones behind you, right?
My glory room.
Yeah, your glory room. So what's your approach that really works for you? And you already said education, but mm-hmm. I mean, like, what are the other pieces of that? Are you going in person to events? Is it strictly networking? What is the path to that success?
So there's several different things. So just starting out, of course, I didn't know anything about marketing. So I would just go to my appointments, and we have a phenomenal marketing office that sets appointments for us. However, like any marketing, there are ups and downs. And I saw pretty early on that a lot of our reps would go up and down in their sales as the marketing department went up and down. I didn't want to be beholden to that. And so I started doing not door knocking, but doing some canvassing programs and doing some additional marketing, going to neighborhood associations. What I found over the many years is the two things that have worked the most for me are I found out about BNI totally by accident because I was at a big venue going to an event and somebody invited me. And when I learned about that, I was like, wow, you mean you can have other people help you? You don't have to do it all on your own.
For those people who don't know, BNI is a referral group, but there are other kinds of referral groups. Not BNI is one branded one where you have different business owners in the group, usually from different industries, and they refer business to you and you refer business to them.
Yeah. So I was always taught, as most salespeople are, you get referrals from your customers and you get more referrals from your customers and you get your customers to refer you to more neighbors, right? Mm-hmm. But it puts a lot of pressure on that individual customer. And when I heard that you could actually train other people to refer you and you could refer them and it could just increase your network, to me, that was a no-brainer. So that's one thing. And the other thing is I work with a home greeting service, Be Connected Home Greeting. It's like...
What, we did their logo.
Did you?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah. They're great. Mm-hmm. This has been a while.
Kathy
and then we
Masterson.
Did some marketing. And Kathy Masterson, we did some marketing work for her. And she had a great approach to welcoming new neighbors in Stone Oak and in the north side with a very nice packet, nice basket of goodies and stuff.
Do you know the history of them?
I do, but I forgot it because of my age.
Well, it used to be Welcome Wagon. And Welcome Wagon stopped doing home visits. And our company used to use them. And then at one point was going to shift gears. And I said, hello, I'll take it on as my own marketing. And so I've been working with them since before Kathy was even a greeter. And some of the women who were working for that organization started their own companies. And Be Connected is the one that's the strongest that has really.
Right. Yeah. And then they have greeters and they show up to people's houses and they knock and their neighbors, quote unquote, they're in the same neighborhood. They said, hey, we have a welcome basket for you. We know you're new here. Where are you from? Blah, blah, blah. California.
So that leads to opportunity for you to talk about water softeners in my neighborhood.
Yeah, because they're letting them know, welcome to the neighborhood. Here's all the goodies, and here's all the people that want to help you. But they're not selling anything. But they do a great job of getting to know each person that's advertising and representing them. And then that way, if they need our services, then they can reach out, or we can follow up and schedule an appointment.
Mm-hmm. Right, very warm referral and warm handoff, and the basket has all kinds of goodies in it from the advertisers. Mm-hmm.
So I'm a fan of BNI. Of course, I'm a member. You know that. Mm-hmm. I visited your guys' chapter. So how are you leveraging BNI for your sales process?
what really I have found works best for me is, of course, keeping my eyes and ears open. I've trained myself to walk in the house and start noticing things and asking questions. But whenever I finish helping the client with whatever they need, if they haven't asked me for something or if they haven't complained about something that was just a referral that fell in my lap, I'll make it a point to give them my contact information, have them save it in their phone. And then while I have my phone open, because the phone's already there, listen, is there anything else that I can help you with for your home and your business while I'm here? And most people say, well, what else do you do? Well, not me, but I have a team of people that I know, that I trust, that I see on a regular basis, and they can help you with other things. So, for example, do you need this service or do you need that service? And then what I've had people tell me over and over is, it was so great that you came and helped us, but even more, you helped us with 12 things that were on our list. We didn't just find out about a water softener. You helped us with so many other things. So,
now, how does that result in more sales for you?
Well, you know, the concept, you help enough people, they're going to start helping you too. And we work, you know, strategically and figure out how we can help the same types of customers. There are a few of us that help folks when they're first moving in. A few of us that help people when they're remodeling or they need to do repairs. You know, we can keep our eyes and ears open for each other.
There's a, I don't know if it was Zig Ziglar. I need to do, can we get a fact checker?
We should have one.
Yeah, just somebody sitting there pulling stuff on the computer. Mm-hmm. But I think it was Zig Ziglar that said, if you help enough other people get what they want, you'll get everything you want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'll verify it here when you guys, when the cameras are on.
When the cameras are
right,
on.
Right.
So I have a question, because I talk to a lot of business owners and you're like an ideal salesperson. They all want someone like you who comes, they do a good job, and then they stay for a while.
And they're genuine.
And they're
right?
genuine.
Doesn't Gina have this like genuineness Aww. About her? Not that the other guests haven't, you know, but.
Why are you looking at me?
I don't know, because you know all the guests.
Yeah, that's true.
But that's the thing. You are the unicorn of salespeople, because generally you either get people who don't quite perform the way you want them to, mm-hmm. or you get people who perform so well that they're like, I can do this on my own, mm-hmm. and then they bail. Mm-hmm. So you're kind of that right in between that everyone wants, but they find so elusive. So what is it about this company, this environment, that keeps you in the I'm doing really well, but I don't feel the need to go start my own water company space?
Oh, that's a good question. So there are folks that I know of who have done that, mm-hmm. and been kind of successful or failed. I've also been invited to lunch a few times without knowing what it was about and found out that somebody was trying to recruit me, which is interesting. However, when I first started working for Sweetwater, I really don't like to hunt for jobs. One of my least favorite things is to go to an interview and all the stress that goes along with that. And so I really, really researched before I agreed to go work for the company. And not to say that, you know, I knew then that I would still be here 31 years later. But when you're working for the company that has the best product, the best warranty, the best customer service, and they allow you to live your life and work, and there's a good balance, That makes a difference. So
tell us about what that looks like. Living a good life and a good mm-hmm. balance.
Well, I'll give you an example from earlier in my career when I was a young mom, and I also I like to be active. I like to be outside. I don't like to be inside all the time. I'm a tennis player, so I was playing on a tennis league. So I scheduled myself off every Monday during the day because I like to play tennis and I was on a tennis league. And at one point, my boss said, you know, you see Ellen over there in Houston? She's out selling you. And you could be selling just like Helen or more if you didn't take every Monday off. And I said, well, yeah, but did you notice that she just got divorced and that she's not too happy? And a couple of years later, she wasn't in the business anymore, and Gina's still around. Mm-hmm. So that's an example from earlier. Now, you know, along the way, I went into sales management where I was doing interviewing and training. I really like the training part. I really like, you know, helping other people and doing, but I'm not an office person. When I'm in the office too long, it drives me crazy. I like to be out and about meeting people. I like to take walks. I like to be able to go on the pickleball court or the tennis court. So I had to decide at one point that I'm not going to stay in management. I'm just going to do what I enjoy. And so it's good to know what you can do, but that you don't have to do it all. Mm-hmm. And it's okay to take time out to spend time with your family and, And then you're usually more successful when people see that you're happy.
Yeah, and a lot of entrepreneurs, it's kind of overrated to own your own business. Yeah, the upside is definitely there, but the amount of time you put into it, the headaches you bring home, it's nice to have somebody else taking care of all the infrastructure and all that. When my first job out of college was with Procter & Gamble. Later on, I took a sabbatical. Yeah, I worked for P&G, had a company car, you know, could barely afford my own car, and then I had a company car. And then from there, I went to work for an ad agency, and then my salary started going down. And then when I became self-unemployed, then my salary really went down. Is that a Howie-ism, being self-unemployed?
Right.
It's like a play.
No, it's not. It doesn't qualify.
No, it doesn't qualify. Anyway, I almost feel like it's got to be in your DNA. But I find that people who have great careers in a big company are generally less stressed out than people who own their own businesses.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think I see that too, because like people who own their own businesses, they're entrepreneurs. They have that, honestly, that ambition that is almost ruinous, right? Because if we all weren't quite as ambitious as we are, we'd probably be happy in a six-figure corporate role going to the Olympics, like Howie told that one story one time. Yeah. But they see that in others too. So it sounds like you had a lot of autonomy to only focus on the things that you really enjoyed and the ability to take that time.
Well, and then that balance.
It,
I mean, and
that balance is huge.
But you're also making enough money for the company and for yourself. So there's a balance there. You have to make enough money for yourself, and that's fine. But then the company looks at it as like, hey, we could have Gina producing more, but we're really happy with what she's making us. So they want to keep you happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, in other words, don't ruin a good thing. Just let her do her thing, right? Don't make it where she has to work on Mondays when that's part of her.
Yeah. Well, there's that Peter principle that everybody reaches their level of incompetence. And so, you know, you find a level.
What?
I don't know if that's a
real
thing.
Slow that down. I see it more as like autonomy, the autonomy to choose what you're going to do and giving you that freedom to do it. And as long as you're meeting the minimum or above minimum expectations, leaving well enough alone in a sales role, because I feel like a lot of entrepreneurs want to push. You could do better. You could work Monday. You could be performing at that. And they take and take and take until these salespeople burn themselves out. But if you feed them enough and you give them enough autonomy, they'll be happy.
There were studies that were done after the blue laws were lifted where now stores could be open on Sundays and sell certain things on Sunday. Their sales didn't go up by 1/7 because they're open one more day out of the week. Mm-hmm. What happened is they started to spread out their sales in those times. Mm-hmm. So there's another principle, and I can't remember what it is, but I don't want Mark making fun of me. But where no matter how much time you give somebody, that's the amount of time you take to do it, because you're given that amount of time.
It's like the deadline theory. Right. It's like if you know it's due now, you could work on it all week or you could work on it the night before. But no matter what, if it's a deadline, you're probably going to have it done. Taxes.
Everyone.
The most demotivating thing was missing my CPA's tax deadline, and he filed an automatic extension. And I'm like, you removed all the incentive.
Right.
Because I know you're not going to get to my stuff until after April 15th.
Because if it wasn't for the last minute, no one would ever get anything done.
Exactly. That's what I needed that deadline.
So entrepreneur, you said it differently, but I'm thinking about everyone reaches their own level of incompetence. That's what I was laughing at, because I've never heard that before. I don't think.
Yeah,
I thought
think
it was
about
great.
It.
I would change it and say that entrepreneurs will push until they reach their own level of incompetence, because I've experienced that myself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, I'm not qualified to do this now. You know what I mean?
Or you just shut down.
Well, and it's
because
good to know what you're good at and where, you know, what you love doing and what you're good at, and spend your time doing that.
Exactly.
You don't have to do everything.
There's massive wisdom in that. And I think that's something that entrepreneurs, like the business owners, it's easy to miss, because you're like, I have to do everything because it's my business. I'm growing it. But that's where you find them failing more often than not, because nobody's good at everything. The truly successful people know how to leverage those things that they can't, and
they know how to delegate for sure.
That's one of the things I like about the virtual staffing business that I'm in, and because it's so low cost that when I'm an entrepreneur actually gets those services, and they're like, oh my gosh, it changes their personality, because they're no longer the chief everything officer, right? They're now able to delegate, but they're doing it at a level that doesn't crush them with the expenses and the red tape and everything else. Mm-hmm. It's one of the things that I love about what I'm doing. So, but you've stayed with the company for 31 years, same one?
In August, it'll be 32.
Okay, so let's talk about what is it here in the San Antonio area where you work predominantly, what is it that people don't know about their water that maybe they should be paying attention to, that is that that's your, like, your toe in or your foot in the door where you start to talk about, hey, this is why you need it?
I think most people, even if they're not from here, they hear from a neighbor or a friend or a family member that the water's hard, that they got to get a water softener. What they typically don't know is how many things water affects on a daily basis. I mean, if you think about it, when you get up in the morning, if you have a day where your water's shut off, you really take water for granted until then, right? Because there's many, many times you use water for many, many different things every day. And so when I go in and do a water analysis for a customer, they learn about how the water affects their laundry, how it affects their coffee, how it affects their skin, how it might be affecting their clothing, how it's not just about the water heater. It's about many other things throughout their day.
Sure. The appliances, for sure. But I think one of the things people don't realize is we spend a lot of time in the shower, hot showers, and when you take chlorinated water and you pump it into a hot, steamy shower,
and
it's
you breathe
a different,
it in.
Exactly. It's a totally different, you know, experience. Aside from the hard water side of it, you guys do purification as well, which is what kind of things are we extracting from the water?
So water softener simply just takes minerals out of the water that are going to build up on stuff like your shower and your water heater. Then there's carbon filtration, which will remove chemicals like chlorine, ammonia, all different types of chemicals that you may not even be aware of that are in the water. So mostly what we're familiar with is the things we smell or taste, which is typically your chlorine or chloramines, but there's other things too. And so what we look at is the water softener is really for the house and the filtration is for the humans.
What about fluoride? Because I just watched that Parks and Rec episode, the like sparkles, because they put fluoride in the drinking water so that we all get more fluoride. Do you guys take that out or do you keep it in?
So it's up to the individual consumer. Like, what do you think about fluoride, Heather? Would you rather have the fluoride in the water or would you rather not have the fluoride?
Yeah, like, heck yeah.
Also. Plus, so I just partied with my dentist and she's like, fluoride. You gotta fluoride.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I grew up, we all had fluoridated water everywhere we lived. We had those little tablets they would give you at school. Do you remember those? Or that might be before your era. They gave us a little tablet and you had to chew on it and then you had to look at your teeth and see if you were missing plaque when you were brushing. Yeah.
I grew up with the mouthwash like that.
Yeah.
It would
stick
and then you'd have like green all over your teeth and you brushed it off. So my mom never bought that again after the first time.
If you're like us and you want fluoride in the water, it's not easy to take fluoride out of the water. Fluoride is an anion, so you can only remove it by distilling the water or using reverse osmosis, which is a special type of filtration. So you wouldn't be removing fluoride for the whole house. And you don't have to remove it from multiple faucets. Some people don't want the fluoride in the water. Some people have some interesting ideas about fluoride. So,
are you anti-fluoride?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah,
I'm not interested in having a chemical in my body that, I mean, I'm just fine without it.
Yeah, so if you don't want the fluoride, then we put one of those fun little faucets on your kitchen counter and we put a reverse osmosis underneath the sink and you don't ever have to drink fluoride. You also won't be drinking a lot of other things that sometimes are dissolved in tap water.
That's good. You guys are providing lots of options for folks.
Yeah, and some places have too much fluoride in the water. There's some areas where the underground well water for the community has too much fluoride and it will cause things like mottling of your teeth. And they actually let the homeowners know in the area that that's an issue. And then they need to have purified water or drink bottled water, which is one of my least favorite things.
How do you approach water wells anyway?
Well, it depends on the well. So sometimes there's a community well just for the neighborhood. So that's going to be really just like city water, except it's not as closely monitored. If it's an individual well like we have at our home, then I'm going to do the same testing I'm going to do for any other homeowner. However, there are different things with wells that you don't usually have with city water. Like you might have smelly water. If you ever had, the benefit of smelling sulfur water?
I've been around it, but
sulfur water. So sometimes there's sulfur in the water. Sometimes there's iron in the water. Sometimes there's a form of iron called bacterial iron in the water, which is kind of nasty.
Yeah, sounds nasty.
Sometimes the water is just maybe not the safest because of the well quality. There's lots of different moving parts with well water.
Is there ever a time when there's just water in the water?
Sometimes.
I was reading an article about them. Some company taking water from the Arctic or ice from the Arctic, and they get it from very deep, and then they bottle it. I don't know if it's called Arctic water or what, but They said it's the purest water. It's 1,000 years old, and it was in ice.
I feel like that's how you get like those super diseases from ancient times.
Oh,
I watch a lot of sci-fi.
From dinosaurs.
Right? No, yeah. Like it takes the 1,000-year-old bacteria and reintroduces it. Yeah.
That's
like
how we
that's just
planet,
my conspiracy theory. Because
right.
I watch a lot of the, what is it, FX sci-fi movies. Yeah. I think they're so funny.
You know, it's interesting because I see people on city water and well water. Some wells are really, really good, and they're just rock hard. There's just a lot of calcium everywhere.
Okay,
it ruins
it.
Everything. Okay. But the water actually tastes better than city water because it's not full of chemicals.
Yeah, because you can tell water tastes different. I mean,
oh,
I drink a lot of water, and I'm not a water connoisseur, but I know waters, and I can tell. I mean, I'm at a restaurant. I'm like, oh, God, this is terrible.
Best
I'm
water I ever
Dallas.
Had was in Colorado. Longmont, good. Colorado, and it's because it's the water comes from the ice that melts and it comes in. It was really good. I'm like, whoa.
See, I'm from Dallas, and I loved the tap water in Dallas. It tasted good. It was fantastic water, and then I came down here, and like the only way I can drink
it's
sink
so
water
different.
Is if there's ice in it, mm-hmm. because if it's warm, it's just got that like aftertaste mm-hmm. here, just because it's so hard.
It's kind of like a metallic taste because you're combining really heavy minerals with chemicals. And then if you're a coffee drinker or a tea drinker, it's not going to taste good.
I always use bottled water for
well,
my
New York,
maker.
Right, the bagels. They say that the secret to the New York
the water,
bagels
the
is
water,
the water.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How so?
The New York City municipal water supply, for some reason. If you try to make the same recipe in L.A., the same bagels, but you use L.A. water, the bagels don't come out as good.
Huh. Same thing for like Jack Daniel's whiskey distillery. They only use the water from the spring on the property to make the whiskey because otherwise it wouldn't taste the same.
Mm. Well, you know, if you're going to make good beer, you got to start with good water.
Mm-hmm. Moonshine, too.
Yeah, so that's another thing. Cooking.
Wait,
have
from
you guys
Dallas,
watched those?
You're from, are you sure
I spent
you're from
a couple
Dallas,
years in Tennessee.
Oh, okay,
and
there
also,
you go.
There's a TV show about the guys that make illegal moonshine in the Appalachian Mountains.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
It's all about finding a good water source. And then keeping the cops away from it. Mm-hmm. But it's the water.
Is it still illegal, making moonshine?
If you're not like licensed to do it, but
yeah,
it's a whole culture of people who have been secretly making moonshine for years. And a few of them have gone legit.
Yeah, and how they sell it and how they distribute it.
All right, so let's talk about the slick feeling on the skin. I've heard different things. What is that from?
Yeah, because I kind of freaked out that what conversation about the
slick. So I'm curious.
Soft,
I'm
in the smoothie. Ice machine. Here, say soft and silky. Say that.
Soft and silky.
Yeah.
I'm soft and silky.
So if you grew up in an area where the water's hard, say you grew up here and you didn't have a water softener in your house, you feel squeaky. And marketing tells us that squeaky means clean, right? But what squeaky really is if you ever see soap scum on the shower or white crusty stuff around the faucet that you have to scrub off, that's what makes your skin feel squeaky is the calcium in the water sticking to the soap that you're using, leaving a film. So you actually have like a bathtub ring on your skin that makes you feel squeaky. And then what happens is after you dry off, well, your skin's tight and dry, and then you want to go put a lot of lotion on. And also, when there's a lot of chlorine in the water, it kind of strips the natural oil out of your hair and your skin. So you feel squeaky. Now, what happens then, if you start using good water and nobody warns you, and you're in the shower going, wait, the soap's not coming
off.
What's going on? In reality, with clean water, soap dissolves easier. It foams up a lot more, makes lots of more bubbles, which is fun. But it also allows your pores to open and your natural oils exude. So what you're feeling is softer, smoother, healthier skin. However, if you don't know that, nobody tells you, you just go to some random person's house and you wash your hands or you go to a hotel that has soft water and it feels like you can't get the soap off, you're not going to like soft water because you don't know. But at the same time, people will tell me, I stayed at this hotel. Oh, my hair. My hair was so nice and soft and shiny. It must have been the hotel shampoo. But then I took the shampoo home and it didn't work the same because it's the water.
It's the water. Yeah. Got it.
I thought you were going to say if you go to some random person's house and you take a shower. I was like, oh.
Yeah,
who's doing
not.
That?
Okay, washing your hands. Got it.
Washing hands makes more sense.
I'll have
sense.
To try that too.
So let's get into challenges with respect to, doing a 31-year career.
Mm-hmm.
What are the difficulties in your industry that you found and overcome?
Well, one of the difficulties, I think, like anything that people go through when they have a career for a certain amount of time is you find yourself getting stuck in a routine where you've said it over and over and you can do it in your sleep. And you know, it's the same thing every day. And so there's you have to find a way to keep it fresh, a way to keep it fun. And the way I do that is to try to, you know, have fun on my off time and spend time with family, you know, that type of thing. But also just seeing over the years, when I started, there were maybe 4 or 5 or maybe 6 companies that I had heard of that did water treatment. And now it's like every time I turn around, somebody will say, well, this company knocked on our door. Do you know them? And I'm like, I've never heard of them. I thought I knew all of them. What's going on? And I have to go research it. And one of the challenges, I think, for homeowners, too, especially if they're not from here, is to know who to trust. Because there are a lot of people out there knocking on doors and calling people up and sending out mail. And they may have a good-looking website that looks nice. But they don't have a service office. So they'll sell a whole bunch of something and then change their name, go out of business. That kind of makes us look bad. It's bad for our industry.
Well, and there's bad equipment, too. They sell you something very basic that doesn't accomplish the intended objective. And people will spend a few thousand dollars on it, and they don't get the desired result. I have a question for you. What happens to your book of business should you choose to retire or become a professional pickleball player and go on tour?
I was going to ask that. Like, what's the exit strategy?
They haven't started paying me yet. I need to practice a little bit more. So I don't really have a book of business in that respect, like you would with insurance, for example. So my customers belong to Sweetwater, which is the local rain soft dealer, because that's the market that I sell in.
The mic.
Yeah. So...
Okay. And could you bring on somebody to work for you if the company approved them and then have them take over your accounts or no? I know it's not a book of business.
No, that's not really a thing. No? Now, I could bring somebody in and help train them, and my office would love that if they, you know, if they did a great job and went out and I could duplicate myself. What would make more sense for me would be to bring somebody on to market for me because I like being in the home. And I don't like spending my time on the phone. So bringing somebody in to do more marketing for me so that I could spend my valuable time with clients.
Gotcha.
So how does retirement look? I mean, what is it? What does it look like in your industry? Do you 401k or what is it your own deal or
It's a combination. So we've got a 401k and I take full advantage of that. And then Roth IRA and then, you know, putting some extra savings along the side. And that's kind of how that works.
No pension, huh?
No pension.
I feel like pensions.
Well, my husband recently asked me, so when are you going to retire? You know, the neat thing about this job is, unlike retail, you don't have to work a 12-hour day. When I was a young mom, and even when I was expecting my daughter, I could work one appointment and go home and put my feet up for a while. You know, you can work 6 days a week. You can work 3 days a week. I can see 6 clients in a day. I can see 1 client in a day.
Can I ask? Because that very much reflects what most entrepreneurs and salespeople live, but a lot of them take advantage of that almost. It's like nobody knows I watched Netflix all day, but then like you did that for 3 weeks in a row and your pipeline looks like trash. Yeah. So what are the core tenets of the discipline that you have to make sure you give yourself the time that you need to relax, but you also produce the results you need?
Mm-hmm. So for me, it's always been about being available during peak marketing times. For us, we visit with people in their homes. We also do commercial and industrial water systems, but it's not my favorite thing to do. So I visit homeowners. Well, the best time to see a homeowner is when they're not at work. Mm-hmm. And it used to be, up until a few years ago, that was after 5, Monday through Friday, and during the day on Saturday. It's changed a little bit. More and more people are working from home now. So we have more appointments available during the day. But I have to... you know, make sure that I'm scheduling some time off. And when I'm off, be off. You know, when you're on the tennis court, don't be looking at your, that's why I don't have a smartwatch. Don't be looking at your phone. You know, when you're, you know, at church, be at church. You know, when you're at home, sitting outside, you know, having a beer or having a cup of coffee, do that. You know, don't try to do everything 24/7.
I'm stressed out just hearing that because I do everything 24/7. Even when I worked for that chemical company where I went to clients to the Olympics and I got paid more than I can spend, I always felt like I should be doing more.
But that's the thing.
That's kind of an, I don't know if it's in my DNA or what it is, but I operate like I'm going out of business. I'll go to the office sometimes very early in the morning, go at night, weekends, whatever. I'm more stressed out if I'm not working. Mm-hmm. But even when I worked for this chemical company, I did sales. Well, yeah, but there's some workaholics that if you mention work, they get drunk. You know,
yeah.
I'm the workaholic. I want to make sure that the workaholic that, you know, I work sometimes too much or I'm always working.
But I think that's one of the things, like that's one of the reasons I'm doing the Art of Bandwidth class is because if you find yourself always working and you feel stressed out when you're not, do you know what the things are that make the biggest impact? So if you're going to do them, mm-hmm. those are the things you hold. And it's like if I'm at my networking group, I don't mm-hmm. step out of it and take a call because I want to be present because I know that's right. the highest impact sales thing I'm going to do today. Mm-hmm. And then if you do kind of flit about the rest of the time handling other things or getting distracted, it's not a huge deal because your big impact time, that was one thing that you mm-hmm. held.
Yeah.
And you were
now,
able
if
to
you
really
can get
it.
To like the things that you're impactful with, you know, and make those the things you really like doing, I think that's a winning combination because mm-hmm. as Gina was saying, you know, find something that you really like. For a variety of reasons, that argument doesn't work with me because I like riding motorcycles. And I like talking to people, so I should be a pizza delivery guy taking pizzas on my motorcycle to people's houses and just talking to them. But that's not going to give me the lifestyle that I want. Mm-hmm. So instead, I look at the things that are highly impactful that I do, mm-hmm. that make me money, get results for my clients. And I get to sort of train myself to really like those things. So I get addicted to the highs of helping people, mm-hmm. being successful, making money, those kinds of things.
So the results is what
the results, yeah. yeah. But it wasn't what I was originally happy doing because I much rather be out cruising around.
Or combining pickleball with networking.
Because, yeah, like, pickleball. You like talking to people, and in every area of those things, like you're talking to people at the highest level because what is mm-hmm. problem solving or helping people or anything like that but communication?
Right.
So, like, you kind of did. You just bent
all
of
them. Helping other people get what
they want, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, something I've never heard you say that, and I don't know if you do this or not, but it seems like as popular as you are, as well connected as you are, I don't know that you own everybody's, you're doing website for everybody that you know, but I would say if you had that, you know, look, let us do a diagnostic or whatever you would call it
right,
of your website. Yeah. We do that evaluation. We'll give you a report on it, and we'll talk. Have you ever tried that? Does that work
you know,
for you?
I've had coaches tell me to do that,
yeah.
and that's why they think I'm uncoachable, because I won't do things like that.
Okay.
Not because they don't work. They absolutely work, and I could probably quadruple the size of my business, but I learned a word long ago that has really served me well, and that word's enough. So it's not a defeatist attitude. But, you know, if you want to get biblical, who is rich? He who is satisfied with his portion. So when my earn rate exceeded my burn rate is when I decided that that was enough. And then I got to spend more time on the nonprofits that I work with and those kinds of things. But I have to reel myself in because then sometimes I'm thinking like, what an idiot, Howie. You could be living in the Dominion with a helicopter landing pad on the roof, do all this stuff. Mm-hmm. But I have enough.
I would come visit you more if you had a helicopter.
I would challenge it. That's the thing. Like, there's a point where you do want to grow and scale, but if you can't think of anything but always growing, then you're never going to be happy because you're going to always be chasing the next thing.
But
so if you can define
not you, but other vision, coaches where they tell you, if you're not growing, you're dying and this and that. And
well, that's why I built a whole company to be opposite.
Right.
Because I think if you can achieve what makes you happy, fantastic. Then just, you have created a life where you get to lean into the things you want to do, which is help people and talk to people and be able to ride your motorcycle when you want to.
So that's where I learned that I should be happy with the things I'm really good at, not just happy with the things I'm naturally happy about, and then try to make those things work. And I kind of learned that from my grandparents because my grandmother had like grandmother-isms. And she had great like quotes and advice. She didn't always say it in the nicest way, but you know, she said about getting married, she's like, you know why arranged marriages worked in my time and before? Because you ended up falling in love with somebody who, people who were smarter than you, like your parents, knew who was best for you. And then you fall in love with them. Don't marry somebody that you fall in love with, because that's probably going to be the wrong person for you. And in a weird way, that makes sense. If other very smart people tell you, you know, I'm going to arrange a marriage between you and you because I think you all are right for each other for these reasons. Could be religion, could be likes, dislikes, how you were brought up, your, you know, where you live, you know, the language you speak, whatever it is, tends to work out better. Divorce rate was a lot lower back then than it is now when we have all these choices, right? So I tell my kids, you know, I said, look, I don't know what's going to make you passionate or happy or whatever, but I want you to become passionate, caring human beings where you want to serve others. Nonprofits, help people who are less fortunate, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And if you're
doing nice things on Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah, exactly.
Doing nice things. Yeah.
So somebody came over and they said, oh, so they met Jacob and they said, are you the one that plays Grand Theft Auto in the morning? And he goes, no, that's Max. Yeah. Yeah. And they go, yeah. So. Yeah, so like you, I'd like to, I mean, I feel like I have a balance, but my balance involves being connected and tethered to these devices and to clients and all that. If not, I'm stressed out the other way.
Balance looks different for everybody.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, you just have to be clear on what that is.
Right.
Dominion in a helicopter.
Yeah, well, that's the goal. That's the goal for a lot of people. And I know a lot of people, and not to quote Kenny Chesney, but, you know, he had a great song called Rich and Miserable. I mean, there's Poor and Miserable.
Oh, yeah. Rich and Miserable is better than Poor.
Right, it is.
So they say.
But there's still
but
this
the problems
rich
have
and
more
miserable.
Zeros behind mm-hmm. right. Rich and Miserable. Yeah.
Well, that should be more stressful.
Yeah, I say money doesn't buy happiness, but it pays the salaries of research staff to study the problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That and actually a turned into a Howie-ism, I'm pretty sure.
You've never seen an unhappy person on a Sea-Doo.
Yeah, right.
That comedian.
That's right.
Never what?
Say oh, never he seen. Said money doesn't buy happiness, but money buys a Sea-Doo. And yeah. You've never seen an unhappy person on a Sea-Doo.
Yeah.
Those,
yeah.
Like,
there's
like motorcycles
song called,
for water.
Buy Me a Boat. Have you ever heard it? It's a country song.
Uh-huh.
You know, it was about winning the lottery or something. You know, money can't buy you happiness, but it can buy me a boat mm-hmm. and right. a truck to
pull it. And a truck to pull it.
Pull it with, yeah.
And
ice. Something about a Yeti. Yeah. Ice down Yeti with silver bullets or something like that. It's a great song. One of my faves.
You well, those are, I tried to explain to my kids that those are pleasures of the moment mm-hmm. and that they're not an overall state of happiness. And so you have to find that distinction.
You should find those with cats.
I always
cats
say you got to enjoy the ride because that's dogs. The thing. If you're miserable trying to build to something, what if you never get to the thing you're trying to build and you've just been miserable the whole time you've been building it? You've got to enjoy the ride.
Yeah,
because if you got hit by a bus tomorrow and you've just been miserable,
and what
for the
if
last
you get there
years,
and it's not what you expected,
exactly, and it rarely yeah. is what you expected.
That's why you need to build friends and relationships on the way, along the way.
Absolutely,
because that makes it a lot more fun. That's where I'm at. I make a lot of friends along this journey that I'm going on now, mm-hmm. and I have a good time with.
And that leads well into what you do anyway, because you make friends, you refer them to each other, then they do business with each other, and then you also don't hard sell. The virtual staffing, but I don't hard sell the advertising either because I rather people come to me because they know that what I'm going to help them with is going to be beneficial to their business versus me having sold them on it mm-hmm. and then it wasn't what they expected and then they blame me. See what I'm saying?
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, Gina, if folks want to get in touch with you, how do they do that?
Best thing is to call my cell phone.
Wow.
210-872-5483.
Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. No, to 3.
Or not on Mondays.
If I'm
or not on
busy,
Mondays, Tuesdays.
They can send me a text or leave me a voicemail.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. I love boundaries.
I do have a quick question, though. I'm a recovering tennis player, and I play now mostly pickleball. Mm-hmm. But are you making the transition into pickleball?
You know, I like to play both.
Okay.
I still enjoy tennis.
They're not compatible, though. One's a paddle, the racket, the length of the thing. You know what I mean? It doesn't
keeps
mess
you
up
on your
game.
Toes.
Okay. All right. All right, then. Well, I'll see
we
you
should
on
play
the
sometime.
Let's play.
Yeah.
We'll play chicken and pickle. Like next time, I'm trying to do a couple tournaments there, set them up for some nonprofits.
Fun.
Yeah. And then we'll play pickleball. I would say tennis is deer hunting, pickleball is bird hunting. So if you do any kind of hunting, tennis is more serious. Deer hunting, blind, you have to be quiet, you can't eat, you have to be there 5 o'clock in the morning. Pickleball, you know, you're eating chicken wings, drinking beer, playing
it's a
pickleball.
Quick learn, too.
That's like bird hunting. You can make a bunch of noise, there's always gonna be more birds flying. Mm-hmm.
So. All right, guys. Well done. Let's wrap this one up. Quick reminder, check out our latest podcast to catch video version of the show anytime by visiting our website at satalkradio.com. That's going to be it for this one. You guys have a great week. See you on the next one.
Awesome.
Awesome.
Yeah, great. Thank you.
Woohoo.